Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. LAX, home to 747s, A380s, and butterflies. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is August 17th, 2013. We're on day three of Newsworthy Clips, and I led off the top of the program talking about LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, and how there are planes, all sizes, the big ones, 747s, A380s, and all sorts of jets flying in and out of there. And they've got something else flying in and out and all about in the area, special butterflies. But we'll talk about these butterflies in just a minute. Before we move into our news clip for today, I want to introduce our panelists and also just do a quick review of yesterday, because there's something we need to talk about from our news clip from yesterday. And first, say hello to the panelists, Lois and Nathaniel. Hi, panelists.
Hi, Bill.
Great to have you back here today. And yesterday we talked about this thing that's happening where parents and even teenagers are asking for this drug to deal that normally is for dealing with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder. And the reason they're doing it is because they want to get an edge in academic performance. There's no proof that there is any edge given by this, but it's kind of like we say an urban rumor where people like start to believe something and they don't really know the facts, but they hear it and they think, oh man, I got to jump on the bandwagon and do this thing. So we did not read the sidebar yesterday, and it is very important. So let's turn to page 27, and at the near the top of the right column there, it's called Advising Parents.
A physician should also counsel parents that, for a child falling short of expectations, there are other, less ethically questionable ways to boost performance, including adequate sleep, exercise and nutrition, tutoring, meditation, and biofeedback. Parents should also be encouraged to consider the potential effects of neuroenhancing medications on their child's developing individual authenticity during childhood and adolescence.
Yeah, this is a good sidebar because it's addressed to the parents, Bill. And I would say that anyone who really desires to be a parent someday should read it as well, because folks, we really have to research things, and we can't get our information by urban myths.
Yeah. Well, I underlined in the second line there is expectations. And I think it's very important for everybody to have, one, realistic expectations, and two, get a grip on this word expectations. And, a lot of people are walking around this world disappointed because of expectations that weren't met. And I'm not quite sure where those expectations come from. A lot of times they come externally. They are defined by systems and people and groups outside of us, and they may not realistically match who we are, what we are, and our talents. So that is actually, I consider in some ways expectations a dirty word, and we really need to be careful in how we manage that. So, but, wow, this is really revolutionary. Ways to boost performance? Nutrition? Sleep? Exercise? Have you ever heard of that, Nathaniel?
No, never. I never knew that these were things that could actually boost your health. No, actually, of course, many of these things are well known. One of them is kind of interesting, biofeedback. I didn't know what that was when first reading it, but it's a kind of treatment for some kinds of body stress that you might have by different techniques like visualization, mostly mental things, exercises that you can do to help that.
Right, right. Now, I was joking about some of this stuff, the nutrition, the exercise, sleeping, those are things that we can control. But every once in a while, we might run into something we have like a block in. and we can't figure out what is going on. And so that might help to maybe get some consultation in this, talk to maybe a counselor, a psychologist, and say, oh, I've got a problem in this area. And then they can maybe run some tests on you and figure out, oh, yeah, you do have an issue with this. You may have a health condition. There may be something else. There might be a physical condition that you may not even be aware of. Why am I having a problem, you know, reading at a higher level or something like that? There might be a vision problem. There might be a sound problem. There have been incredible examples of students being perceived as incompetent or incapable, and it was actually physically based. In fact, I think Einstein, when he was a young boy, Einstein was called like a dunce by his teachers, and I can't remember exactly this, but it was actually a physical malady that he had. And there was something about his hearing or something that and teachers were saying, oh, he's hopeless. He'll never be anything.
Exactly.
And that's where we need the biofeedback.
Exactly. You know, I'm thinking of somebody that our readers probably know right today, and that's Jamie Oliver. He's the world's most popular and successful chef. Do you know, folks, he's dyslexic? He even admits it in his books, in his programs, and he talks about it all the time. He's done very well. He would have never been at the very top of his class academically.
Right. Dyslexic, we mix up the letters, the order of letters, and even words. We say things backwards when we want to say them forward, and we get things mixed up. Certainly, as a child, if that is it present, it, you know, in a 10-year-old, the kid is going to get teased, and that is going to have a bad effect as far as their self-esteem. And then the teachers might think, oh, he's a dummy. And all of that stuff that biofeedback can help solve and then get the kid back on track, not necessarily prescribing more pharmaceuticals, thinking that's the solution. Yeah. So, and I like this as far as, you know, parents should be also, they should consider the potential effects of neuroenhancing medication on their developing individual authenticity during childhood and adolescence.
Exactly. And these children are developing, folks.
Right.
They don't come arrived. They're developing. It takes time.
Yeah. And we all develop at different ages. And in fact, there are many people who are late bloomers, people who are successful in their late 30s, 40s, and 50s. So just because your 14-year-old is not Einstein today, don't panic. Do not hit the panic button. Just cultivate them, nurture them, and encourage them. And don't go crazy because your expectations are not being met today. So it's like a marathon. It's a long race. So now let's move into our article for today, our news clip. If you turn to page 28, we are talking about what? What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about a ghost town near Los Angeles International Airport, which we usually call LAX. There's something interesting that we find there. We've already mentioned that there is a rare kind of butterfly that is found in that area, and we want to take a look at that situation.
All right. Now, normally when we say ghost town, what do you think of when ghost town?
Well, Bill, I know that ghosts don't live there. But it seems like no one lives there, Bill.
Yeah.
Or if there is someone live there, it's usually somebody that doesn't really want to mix with society.
Well, when I think of ghost town, I think of like in America, like there are places in the mountains in Colorado and Utah and Wyoming where settlers passed through maybe 100 years ago and they started a town. But the resources dried up, the people moved out, and there's just buildings there, right?
Yep. I think of old cowboy movies.
Yeah.
You know, a little town that everybody's left for some strange reason.
Yeah. Now, for some of our listeners, you might be familiar with it. When I also think here around Taipei of a ghost town, I go up by Wanli, up by the ocean, right next to, I think it's the Howard Plaza Hotel. There's it used to be they built these things. They look like flying saucers.
On stilts or something.
Yeah, and then there's all these other experimental, groovy kind of homes that they built back in the 60s or 70s. I think it was for military people. And it's abandoned. It's completely abandoned, but the streets are still there. The buildings are all hollowed out and empty, and it is like creepy. You know, I've ridden my bicycle around up there, so I'm sure some of our listeners around Taipei know what I'm talking about. So, and if you haven't ridden your bike or walked around that place, go do it some afternoon.
Oh, it's very weird. Interesting place, Bill. It is. You're right. It is weird.
All right. Now, let's head off to Los Angeles and find out about this ghost town.
LAX Ghost Town, a home to memories and rare butterflies. The remains of what was once one of Los Angeles's most coveted neighborhoods can be seen behind a fence topped with barbed wire. Developed in the 1920s and 1930s, Surf Ridge was an isolated playground of the wealthy. Today, Surf Ridge is a modern ghost town inhabited by a rare butterfly. The El Segundo blue butterfly was near extinction in the early 1970s, the victim of an expanding Los Angeles International Airport. Now, more than 125,000 butterflies take flight each summer. It's a remarkable recovery, said Richard Arnold, an entomologist.
LAX, ghost town, a home to memories and rare butterflies.
Yeah, I knew nothing about this, Bill. This is all new to me, like it's going to be to our readers today, because I didn't even know this area existed. That's basically just a stone's throw from Los Angeles Airport.
Okay, now we see here the remains of what was once one of LA's most coveted neighborhoods. Can what?
It can be seen behind a fence topped with barbed wire. So I'm guessing you can probably see this place from the airport, but between you and this place, you're going to have a wall with this kind of wire with sharp pieces on it that we call barbed wire.
We normally have it there to keep people out, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Now, when I say coveted neighborhood, what do I mean?
So it's a place that you want to live in, usually because maybe the area is wealthy. It's just a good, safe neighborhood to be in. Of course, this one has aged quite a bit.
Yeah, it was developed in the 1920s and 30s, called Surf Ridge. And
yeah.
What was it back in the 1920s and 30s?
Well, surprise to me, Bill, it was an isolated playground of the wealthy.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. I've never heard a thing about it. Not even a movie.
No, I didn't know about this either. Isolated means separated from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so this Surf Ridge was there. It was for people, movie stars, directors, people that owned companies, the wealthy. They were buying property here and they were building these really nice homes in this strip of land that actually was about 100 to 130 feet above sea level. So it was up above. They had great views of the ocean. That was part of the attraction of this place. And now what you also have to understand is when they had this development going on, LAX was not LAX.
Exactly.
There was this little private airport there.
Hmm.
Okay. And it just like had some propeller planes coming in once in a while. They might have an air show. It was not the airport that you have there today. So that's why this place was developed right there. The real estate was prime stuff. So now, but today, Surf Ridge is what?
It's a modern ghost town inhabited by a rare butterfly. And our word in bold there, inhabited, just means that the butterflies live in this place. We might say they are inhabitants of this modern ghost town.
Okay, the people moved out.
And the butterflies moved in.
All right. Somebody's got to move in, right? Well, it is the El Segundo blue butterfly. El Segundo is an area near there, and the butterfly is named after it. And this butterfly was what back in the 70s?
Well, it was almost extinct, Bill.
Okay.
And it also tells us the extinction nearly happened in the early 1970s, and it was because of it was a victim of the expanding Los Angeles International Airport. And we've got to remember, in the 1970s, that's when people really started to get hooked into aviation. So we can imagine that this was an expansion of great proportions here.
Yeah. So not only an expansion in size, but also the number of flights coming in and out, and then also, of course, jets taking over from propeller planes.
And also in the 1970s, the airplanes are a lot noisier than they are today, folks.
Yep. So, well, now there's quite a bit of them that live there.
Yeah, more than 125,000 of these butterflies take flight each summer in this area. So it's really interesting. They were nearly extinct about 40 years ago or so, and now there's I guess quite a few of them again.
Yeah, and butterflies also do migrate. I don't know the seasons for these butterflies, but they move around. But this is their home base for these El Segundo butterflies. A recovery that is absolutely remarkable, says Richard Arnold, an entomologist, and that is someone who studies insects. Let's continue with our reading to the bottom of this column.
Soon there will be more. The California Coastal Commission recently approved a $3 million plan to restore portions of 48 acres at the northern end of the old subdivision. The project is part of a settlement of a lawsuit between LAX and surrounding cities over the airport's expansion plans. They wanted us to fix what they consider to be an eyesore, airport spokeswoman Nancy Suey Castles said. As commercial aviation surged after World War II, there were more and more planes overhead, a burgeoning industry in a city that was growing at a breakneck pace.
Okay, we finished the last reading by learning about 125,000 of the El Segundo blue butterfly taking flight. That's a large number. It's quite a recovery from near extinction, but soon there will be more.
Right. The California Coastal Commission recently approved a $3 million plan to restore portions of 48 acres at the northern end of the old subdivision. This is interesting.
Okay. Now, surfage, just if you want to know, is actually the southern section of a much larger subdivision that was built. It was called Palisades Dorée when it was built. Surfridge is the southern section of it. This thing stretched a long way, it actually for several miles along the coast. So, but Surfridge is the one that's right at the end of the runways down there at LAX. So the state has approved more money to restore portions of 48 acres at the northern end of Surfridge. And they're going to try and make this nice, clean it up a little bit, make it an attractive place. And, well, they're not just doing this because they're nice people. They actually were kind of forced, right?
Yeah, this project is part of a settlement of a lawsuit between LAX and surrounding cities over the airport's expansion plans. So the plans of LAX to expand from their base, use some more land for runways or terminals, was not something that people around there that lived around there wanted to see happen.
Okay. Now, citizens may have filed lawsuits against LAX. Maybe some environmental groups might have filed lawsuits against them. I'm thinking of those two sources of a lawsuit. So that's who they are that the person is talking about in this next quote.
Yes, this next quote, Bill, says they wanted us to fix what they consider to be an eyesore. And this was told to us by airport spokeswoman Nancy Suey Castles.
All right. So, again, this happens quite often in the United States. There are developments. Things are built. Governments actually will build things. And later on, there are environmental impacts. And then it might be citizens groups, neighborhood groups, environmental groups, they will file a lawsuit and say, you built this runway and you ended up killing all the butterflies, or you built this runway and it caused air pollution that created cancer in the residents of this area. So that's what this is about. And so whoever did sue LAX, they wanted them to fix this thing they considered an eyesore. What's an eyesore?
Well, I guess it makes your eyes sore. It's not something that looks very good. You don't want to look at it. So I'm sure this ghost town has not aged very well over the years.
So eyesore is not a medical condition.
No, I don't
think
so.
It's just ugly, right?
It's ugly. You do not want to look at it.
Yeah, okay, all right. So they wanted this cleaned up, make it look nice. And I actually went online and looked at some of the pictures of the Surfridge today, and it is an eyesore. It's amazing. It's amazing, this thing that is at the end of the runways there. It's hard to believe it's in a city as busy and bustling as L.A. is, and, mm-hmm. and just to see this empty space, it's like, What in the world? All right, now we see why Surfridge became a ghost town.
Right. It tells us as commercial aviation surged after World War II, there were more and more planes overhead, burgeoning industry in a city that was growing at breakneck pace. And when we say breakneck pace, folks, we say dangerously fast. They couldn't really keep up.
Yeah, it was growing faster than people knew. And often what happened is urban planning kind of goes out the window when things are happening so fast. It's just build, 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 build. Developers come in, and maybe not the best decisions are being made. And we say here the airline industry, commercial aviation, a burgeoning industry. What do we mean?
Well, it's developing. It's growing. Often this word is used about plants, flowers, that type of thing, but you can apply it to other things as well. The aviation industry was still growing and at this time still very quickly. I don't know if it's necessarily come to a standstill this time, but at that time there were more flights as time went on.
Yeah. Okay. The city was growing. Population was growing. And people were just flying in and out of L.A. Let's move on to our final reading of today.
But it was the jet age that killed Surfridge. Today, except for the crumbling concrete, Surfridge exists solely in memory and faded snapshots. The views are still great, and people park their vehicles on the road above Dockweiler State Beach to savor them, read a book, or take a nap. It's a strange place to seek relaxation, but wait long enough and there is a lull in air traffic and respite from the racket. The ocean below can finally be heard. Thoughts turn to a time when this was all dunes and the blue butterfly didn't need any help. And then, just as suddenly, a 747 shatters the silence.
Okay, there was this burgeoning industry, the aviation industry, commercial aviation in L.A. that came after World War II. So a lot of planes, large propeller planes. However, that's not what necessarily killed Surfridge. What did?
It was the jet age that killed this community. The introduction of these jets that just wouldn't even allow the people that lived in Surfridge to communicate. They just probably couldn't even hear each other.
Yeah, as I did research on this, they were okay with the propeller planes coming by. Even the increase of traffic of those planes wasn't bad. They could still at least talk to each other. But once the jets came, the neighbors would be outside. They couldn't even have a conversation. They'd be standing next to each other. They had to just stop talking. So that was the past. Today, what are we talking about? What do we see there?
Well, today we see, except for the crumbling concrete, Surfridge exists solely in memory and faded snapshots.
Yeah.
So it's a different place than it was in the 20s or the 30s.
Yeah, there really are no more buildings there. If you see pictures, again, crumbling concrete, these are just the foundations of the homes that were built there. That's all that remains. It's completely uncared for. There's weeds everywhere. And it's a pretty ugly place. And it just remains only in memory. There are some faded snapshots, old pictures of some of the homes that were there at that time. So that's as far as the neighborhood. Well, physically, you know, but the views are still okay.
Yeah, the views are still great, and people will park their vehicles on the road above Dockweiler State Beach to savor those views. And they can read a book there. They can take a nap there, maybe, if the noise isn't too bad.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they do like to go out there. They can park, have a nice view of the beach, savor a book. But
it's a strange place to seek relaxation. But I kind of wonder if they're like some of the people that like to watch planes land and take off, Bill. Mm. Maybe this is a nice place for them to go
actually,
to.
I do.
You know, I know a lot of people that do.
Mm. I do. I will go over to the airport here in town, and I like to go watch planes take off and land. What about you?
I always enjoy watching them as I pass by on the MRT, but actually this article has made me think about the people that live close to Songshan Airport. Yeah. Do they have some of these same issues?
Yeah, you know, I used to enjoy it, Bill, at Pearson, which was then Toronto International Airport. I would go watch the planes come in or take off, always dreaming that I was on them. And also in Richmond, Vancouver, British Columbia, there's a lot of people do it there.
Yeah.
And I can take you to the spot, folks, if you want to go there sometime.
Yeah, so actually some people I think are there because they do like to see planes take off. Especially I like to watch the big planes. I'd like to be there and watch an A380 take off. It's an amazing sight, or even some other planes. So now, some people think it's strange. I don't. Just wait long enough and there is a lull, a slowdown in the air traffic, which creates
a respite from the racket. We can say respite or respite with this word. It's like a rest, really, a pause. You stop these things that are loud, noisy, troublesome. You get a respite.
Yeah, and that's what we call a racket sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's making a racket means he's making a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and then finally, the ocean below can be heard. So at least for a few moments, you can hear the waves crashing in, and you might even get sentimental there, right?
Exactly, like I tend to be that kind of person. Thoughts turn to a time when this was all dunes and the blue butterfly didn't need any help.
Well, you might go back to the 20s and 30s and picture some old cars driving along and some classic homes up on the mountain and get these thoughts, maybe start the daydream, but then
just as suddenly, a 747 shatters the silence.
Right? And there you go.
There you go. That's it.
Before we started our reading today, our article today, Lois revealed to me that she has never been to LAX. And I know, Nathaniel, you've been there, right?
I've been through there once, quite a while ago.
All right. Now, I was telling Lois what a joy you have missed by not going through LAX. And, of course, yes, listeners, I'm speaking with my tongue in cheek. So you should be thankful you haven't had to go through LAX.
Well, you know, Bill, I'm thinking I might go through LAX in the fall of this year.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll get my treat.
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to keep my eyes open for this place. I'm going to keep my eyes open for Surfridge now that I know about it. I've definitely flown over it. I just didn't know the place existed. So, well, listeners, thanks for joining us here for the past 3 days of Newsworthy Clips. Appreciate you being here with us. Till next time, this is Bill.
This is Nathaniel.
And Lois.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.